The Bible describes the Christian life in many different metaphors. The one I want to consider tonight is that of a race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Therefore run that you may obtain." And so we have to make sure that as we're living the Christian life, that we run in such a way that we're not running in vain, that we're not taking a false start and going before the gun goes off, and because of that, whatever effort we spend would be in vain, or that we're not hindered in some way along the way so that we don't come across the finish line. We want to be like what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, at the end of his life, he said, "I have finished my course." And so what I want to look at tonight is Hebrews chapter 12, which continues this run metaphor and talks to us about some things that might challenge us in our faith as we try to run the Christian life. And I want to look particularly at some hurdles that we might have to go over as we try to run this race that is set before us. The Bible says there, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You see, he's concluding what has just been talked about in Hebrews 11, where you had all of these people that were victorious through faith. And so because you have this great cloud of witnesses, all of their lives stand as a testimony to the fact you can take God at his word, you can live by faith, and you can be victorious by faith, you can finish your course. Because we have all of those set before us, we should lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. And so the first hurdle that we might talk about tonight is the sin that so easily ensnares us. Now, since Hebrews 11 does talk about faith, you could say that this snare, this hurdle, is in general unbelief. But really, it could be any particular sin that you struggle with, whether it's with your tongue, whether it's with pride, whether it's with some relationship in your life, whether it's with some other sin, whether it's with greed or lust or whatever. Whatever sin that might beset you, that's one, the temptation to go to that sin, that's a hurdle that we have to go over, that we have to make sure that we pass over if we're going to be able to say in the end that we've finished our course and that we're successful. Another hurdle that we find in Hebrews 12 is found in verses 2 and 3. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We live in a day and time not unlike other generations, where Christians are ridiculed. Christians are painted as being some ignorant people that are just intolerant of other people. If you turn on the TV, a lot of times Christians are portrayed in such a negative light. And we can sometimes be discouraged by the hostility and the shameful treatment that people treat Christians with, the persecution. We remember that Jesus endured hostility because of sin. In fact, he was put to death because of hostility of people around him, persecution. And he himself said in Matthew 10:24 that the servant is not above his master. And so if Jesus was persecuted, then certainly we should expect to be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 1 Peter mentions how we shouldn't think it's strange in chapter 1 that some fiery persecution came upon us. It shouldn't be strange to us because that's what happened with Jesus. And if we're followers of him, then we are going to be treated shamefully as well by people that are outside of Christ. Then we have weariness and faint-heartedness described in verse 3. He says, "Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Do you ever have the temptation or the struggle of being weary and tired spiritually? Worn out. Galatians 6 verse 9 says that we should not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we don't faint. But it's easy for us to grow weary and start to faint in trying to run this race that is set before us. And then finally, we also have other things that are listed in this book, in this chapter, but that would include those people that might, those sufferings that come upon us just as part of the trials, general trials of our lives, that he's going to talk about here in verses 6 through 11. But we've talked about these hurdles. We've mentioned some of them briefly. But we wouldn't really serve our purpose well tonight unless we showed some way to get over these hurdles. And so I want to take the general idea of the trials and the temptations that we have to go through in life, whether it's a sin of some particular nature or some trial because somebody's persecuting you or some other thing, maybe it's some sickness, maybe it's something that's not just related to somebody persecuting you, but just a hard time that you're having in life. How do you get over these hurdles that stand in your way to realizing your ultimate goal of crossing that finish line and being with the Lord in heaven? Well, Hebrews 12, interestingly enough, also gives us some ways to get over these hurdles, not only presenting them to us. And so the first thing it says for us to do is to lay aside every weight. It's almost a comical idea here that you would go out and race trying to pull something along, trying to pull a heavy weight. But you know, that's the way a lot of people try to run the Christian race. They're holding on to something, whether it's some practice or some person in their life. They're trying to drag that along with them across the finish line. And if it's something that is getting in their way of serving God, they need to let that go. Whatever it is in your life, you've got to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you in order to run this race. Secondly, you've got to look to your goal. You know, if you don't really know where you're going, if you're always looking behind you, if you're always looking somewhere else and you're not really sure where you're going, it's very likely you're not really going to get there. And so look to the goal. Look to Jesus, it says in verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginner and the ender of it. He gave us this wonderful opportunity to go to heaven, and he's the one that's going to finish it for us. And so we have to look to him as our example. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and remember the way he was treated. How did he go through all the trials and temptations that he went through and yet never sinned? It's because he looked to the joy that was set before him. He looked to that day when he could sit down on the right hand of God and say, I have done what you wanted me to do, Father. I have given this sacrifice to the world. And so look to Jesus. And then notice also this. In verses 6 through 11 or 5 through 11, remember that some of the trials and temptations that you go through in life, some of the hard things you go through in life, are actually God's way of making you better. It says that God disciplines his children. And so sometimes I go through hard things in life to make me a better person and somebody that can be closer to God and can also, finally, notice this, help other people. One of the ways I can get over my own hurdles, my own troubles in my life, is to help people that are struggling with their troubles. If you're always just focused on your own troubles, they become insurmountable. But if you can focus on helping somebody else, then you can sometimes get over your own struggles, your own trials and temptations. Notice it says here in verse 12 that we should lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And I suggest to you this is not just referring to our hands and our knees, but rather the hands and knees of others. It's much like that image that you find in Exodus chapter 17. You remember when the Israelites are fighting against the Amalekites who had done them so much wrong. And whenever Moses lifted up his hands, they were triumphant. They were successful against the Amalekites. But when he got tired and let those hands down, then the Amalekites began to overtake the Israelites. And so Aaron and Hur got on both sides of him, and they stayed up his hands until the victory was won. And so that's what we're really gathered here to do, is to lift each other up, lift each other's hands up, and encourage those drooping hands that get tired, help one another do that. And if we can focus on others that way, that's a good way for us to get over these trials and these temptations. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You haven't even started. We would invite you to start this race. You know, we mentioned how Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginner and he's the ender. And the Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9 that he's the author or provider of salvation to those who obey him. What does Jesus tell us to do in order to be saved? Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins, John 8, 24. Jesus said, unless you repent or turn from your sins, you'll perish, Luke 13, 3. Jesus said that if you'll confess me, he says, before men, then I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is what Jesus tells us to do in order to be provided with the salvation that he gives. Maybe you've done the first things and you've grown weary. Maybe you've stumbled on a couple of these hurdles. You know, there's still time to get back up and to finish the race. And if we can help you do that tonight, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. Judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.